Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. It is a Football Friday on episode 168 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. It's the rollout before a live studio audience, and the co-host is here, Darren DuPont. How are you, Dupes?
Good morning. I'm doing really good. How are you?
It's game day for our teams, as it were.
Yeah.
You've got your Blades pullover on. I've got my Pats pullover on. But we will be talking football. And I brought in Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster John Frenzy for Football Friday. How are you doing, Frenzy?
I'm doing great. Just great. Looking forward to the Super Bowl. It should be a great one, eh?
Yeah, no kidding.
I've said that before, guys, and you have too, and it turns out to be a dud. But this one can't turn out to be a dud. I just think there's so much on the line here. And Andy Reid wants that Super Bowl so badly, doesn't he? And he deserves one.
So does Kyle Shanahan. For those that are listening, not watching, Lynch has got a 49ers shirt on. Is that coincidence? Or is that who you're picking, Frenzy?
I got this sent to me.
You got it sent to you.
So what's the answers? Yeah. Are you picking them?
Yes. Definitely picking 49ers.
Lee Corso is supposed to wait till the end of the show to put on the shirt.
Well, maybe he'll rip off his shirt at the end of the show and unveil a real Super Bowl winner.
That'll be WWE stuff, like the NWO rip it off.
So there's something to be hanging on till to the end, everybody. It's going to be a fun show. Football Friday, as we call it, lovingly. And we've got some really big names coming on. Montreal Alouettes general manager Danny Machocha will be joining us from La Belle Province. And breaking news out of Montreal. I said to Clark, I don't know if Danny's even going to have time to come on the program because he's had a very busy Friday. This has all come out within the last 30 minutes to an hour. The Alouettes have traded Bo Lacombo to the Argonauts for a conditional 8th-round pick. They've released Devere Posey, friend of the show. They've released Tommy Campbell, re-signed Eugene Lewis, and this is all after releasing Antonio Pipkin and signing James Wilder Jr. yesterday. So thank you, Clark, for putting that up on my monitor. And talk about hot, hot, hot. We're going to have Danny Machocha on live here in hour one to discuss all of these moves. He's not wasting time.
Is he good for the Alouettes?
We're going to find out. I think so. And so that's the first name that I mentioned. Frenzy's in the bunker. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is here. He's on the sponsor's couch. 2-time Grey Cup champion will be with us to update his thoughts on all this. Breakdown Super Bowl 54. BC Lions defensive back Aaron Grimes is going to be joining us on video chat today. Is that Monday? Whoops. Matt Baker of the BC Lions. Thank you. Jeff Reinbold, the Hamilton Tiger Cats special teams coordinator, will be with us today live from South Beach and Super Bowl coverage where he's working for Fox Sports or Sky Sports, the European Fox. And that's a big football show. I've got the Magnificent Seven show topics. May I?
Yes.
There will be a lot of CFL talk today, of course, and Sunday, February 2nd, is when what I'm terming bidding season begins. Do they have a name? Tampering season's got a new name, right? Bidding season? I don't think it has a name. We're going to give it a name. Beginning Sunday, teams can officially, legally, in the CFL make offers to free agents on other teams. That's point one. Point two, do we like this new rule? And I don't know that they've got a name for it, Darren, do they?
No, not that I know of.
Come up with one today.
Oh, yeah.
Three, why hasn't Willie Jefferson signed with the Dolphins yet? Because he's some people's number one on their board. He is my number two on the board because I think Nick Arbuckle's still more valuable. There's a lot of talk about Willie fielding offers from other CFL teams, re-signing with Winnipeg, or going to the Miami Dolphins. Why hasn't that happened yet? I want to talk about that. Point four, I don't think we're done with the Caleros-Nichols debate. As a matter of fact, I know we're not, because Smitty, we haven't talked about it with you yet. So Matt Nichols asking for his release right after the team extended Zach Caleros. I want to kick that around. Point five, Three Down Nation reporting that Charleston Hughes has been given a $15,000 raise up to 165 grand per season by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I just want to kick that around, guys, on what you think, because this guy's led the CFL in sacks for, is it 5 years? At the very least, four. He's been one of the top defensive players in the CFL for the last several seasons. And based on last year's salary, making nowhere near what his line mate, Micah Johnson, was making. Okay? So we'll talk about the fair or unfairness of that situation. Point six, NFL in Toronto, which why would we even spend any time on it? I think that's open and shut case. But they are still talking about it, so we will. And point seven, I asked Clark to throw this up on the screen. Tom Brady's Instagram post. I know our listeners that aren't watching won't know what it is. Can you put that up, Clark? Tom Brady put this on his Instagram. It's him walking down a hallway. I can only assume that's Gillette Stadium.
It is.
And it has... Look, I watched ESPN this morning for an hour. They debated what he meant by that post. And I'm embarrassed for the journalism industry, if that's what... I'm embarrassed for the entertainment industry that you would spend an hour on ESPN, get up this morning, talking about what Tom might have meant by that. For instance, they're saying, is it a picture of him leaving? Is it a picture of him coming? Is it a picture of a tribute to Kobe? Is it some sort of marketing deal?
It's crazy.
An hour.
It's insane. He's the talk of Super Bowl.
Yes, he is.
He's taken over Super Bowl. He's going to be a free agent. You know, he sold his home. We've heard that. His trainer sold his home in the Boston area. So there's a lot to the story.
The wife wants to move, by the way.
Yeah. Is he coming from the stadium? Is he leaving the stadium? What does that mean? And then somebody said, well, no, it's just a Kobe tribute, because Kobe has a similar picture walking out of Staples Center or into Staples Center or whatever it was, you know, when he retired. And then it turns to, well, does that mean Tom's retiring because he's doing the same type of picture? There's no caption to the picture. He just posted the picture, and he's probably sitting
it's
back.
Black and white. Why is it black and white
probably
and not color?
Because then he's black and white, so he's blocked out, so you can't see if it's the front of his face or the back of his face. Right. Then somebody's like, well, he's a right-handed quarterback, which means he wears his watch in his left hand. There's a bulge of the watch on the left hand, so he's walking into the stadium, so he's coming back.
See why I'm embarrassed for the entertainment industry?
Yeah.
You want to see what it's like.
Look, I get it. I would prefer you were talking about the game and the matchups and Mahomes versus Nick Bosa and these kinds of things. They want to spend an hour on Tom Brady's latest Instagram post. And what they're saying is that he's just trolling people. And in the CFL, there are no non-Grey Cup-related announcements allowed during Grey Cup week, right?
Right.
Maybe not in the NFL, because he's stolen Super Bowl week.
But that's... You know what? I don't mind that, because it's a chance. You're showcasing the whole game. You have how many hours for how many days to preview the game? We can only talk about Mahomes and Garoppolo so much, and we continue to do it. And there's going to be so much to get to. But an hour on Tom Brady, I don't know about that. But it's a chance to talk about everything else that's going around in the league. Because where he goes, it's the biggest domino of the season.
It's the biggest offseason. Well, they're saying it's the biggest offseason story in the National Football League.
Yeah, but
it's Tom Brady, but it's not the offseason yet. That's my thing. Can we just talk about the game, guys? But I get that all the time from football people. And I'm like, we got to give people what they want. And that's entertainment.
It is. And in the CFL, if we did that, I mean... Unfortunately, there's not enough people talking about the game on a daily basis, or the offseason and the offseason. So if Grey Cup's a chance to get everybody together and talk about all these things and get that sparked, I'd be all for it.
We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. That's the main, as can ESPN.
Yeah.
By the way, Nelson's watching, and he wrote in, he says, the CFL is calling this free agency season, and it slid off the screen here. I have to go by memory. Oh, here it is. The CFL is calling it free agent negotiation window. Well, sure, that's the stuffy bureaucrat name for it. We want a fun name for it. Let's call it bidding season. Let's call it what? The auction.
The auction.
The auction starts on Sunday.
How's that?
That's good. That's the best name that works.
If I could auction, I would. I've tried. It's not easy.
That's been a lot of contact with a lot of players before the official bidding season starts, right, guys? It always goes on, called tampering. And it's always denied, et cetera. And I think it was really in excess this year. So, I mean, a lot of contact's been made. And it's going to be very interesting. The moment it's open, the season starts today or tomorrow, there's going to be a bunch of announcements, right?
Of signings?
I think so.
Well, they make their offers. They're not public. I don't think they're public, but they have to be registered with the league. I'm interested. You know, they need KPMG, an entire accounting firm, to keep track of these offers. That's what I don't get. If 75% of the league are free agents, and say each one gets 8 offers, that's thousands of offers to deal with and account for.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
Who's tracking that?
Right?
There should be more activity this year than ever before.
You guys are pointing at the screen and you're laughing at what our viewers are saying. And I'm glad that you all joined us for coffee this morning. Mark Anderson, our friend from Hanley School, says flea market is now open. The flea market.
Flea market. No.
No.
Auction's the best word.
Free agent auction wars.
Free agent auction.
Look at this right here. Free agent auction wars. FA auction wars right there by Jerry Hayes. Jerry Hayes.
Neil Shuchuk, watching in White Court, Alberta, with a great question. Thanks, Shuey. Does the average Canadian care about where Tom Brady goes or Nick Arbuckle? There it is. Does the average Canadian care about where Tom Brady will go or where Arbuckle goes?
Arbuckle.
Does the average Canadian know who Nick Arbuckle is? That's the question. They all know who Tom Brady is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really good point by Neil. Arbuckle's not the top quarterback in the CFL, but he's the top free agent quarterback in the CFL, and I'm sorry to Matt Nichols, but I would rather sign Nick Arbuckle. I think he's got a bigger upside. That's just me. Frenzy, your take, point 4 of the Magnificent Seven show topics here. Zach Calero signed, Matt Nichols gone. What did you think when you heard about that?
I wasn't surprised. I thought it was a good move by the Bombers, a realistic move. I mean, Zach Calero, when he went to Winnipeg, those 4 games at the end of the year, he was spectacular, beating Calgary twice in Calgary, 35-15 in the final, semifinal, and then the Grey Cup game, 33-12 over Winnipeg. They beat the hell out of Winnipeg, and Zach Calero was terrific. The players, as you guys will both know, really wanted Calero, and they pitched the executive for that. I went along with it. I think it had to be done. Feel bad about
Nichols.
He had them at a 7-2 record when he got hurt. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but he has a knack of getting hurt halfway through the year, the last 2 years. I have to say to you that I agree with what Winnipeg did.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Don't we?
I mean, I like Matt Nichols as a quarterback, and I thought he would have been a great option, too. I mean, it comes down to how can you not reward the guy who won you a Grey Cup and broke that streak? Not saying Matt Nichols wouldn't have been able to do that. His numbers have always been good. Even though, you know, he hasn't maybe won the playoff games. What has he won? One playoff game in Winnipeg.
Yep.
But he's had good numbers in all of his playoff starts. And the defense hasn't played that well in his starts. And it was completely different, you know, with Zach Calero as a quarterback. He didn't have great numbers, but he had good numbers. Defense played really good. It's not just one guy, but if a guy comes in and gets the job done, how do you not reward him for winning the Grey Cup? How do you say, hey, thanks for the night, but see ya?
Guys, I know. Sorry, hard. Go ahead.
I got to ask you guys, who is the real Zach Kolaris? I mean, he was brilliant in Winnipeg. He had some good times here, but some bad times too. And after he got hurt after 2015, he wasn't that good a quarterback. Prior to that, he was great. Remember in 2015, we're all thinking he was going to be the player of the year, eh?
He was on track to be.
So I don't know. Who is the real Zach Kolaris? I mean, he was brilliant in these last 4 games. The guy was out of this world.
Well, the one thing we know about Zach Kolaris, at least lately, is he wins football games. Yep. He won football games here when he's healthy.
That's a good point.
Numbers weren't great.
He's a winner.
That same guy, but he's a winner.
Yep.
So how do you not want a guy who's a winner?
Yeah. Winnipeg fans are happy. That's what they wanted. That's what the players wanted. So they got it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Shuey, he's the mayor of Negative Town today. He says, further to the point, if you don't live in a CFL city, you don't even care about Nichols or Caleros. I talk to young fans, CFL not on their radar. Scary times. It is what it is. We're going to be here talking about it every day as much as we can and hope it gravitates to the younger people. Whatever. We can't control them. People are writing in talking about CFL marketing, K-Dog, regarding Arbuckle and all these free agents going south. It just goes to show how undermarketed the CFL is. So many opportunities. Listen, I don't want today in particular to sit here and be a CFL bash session because we love the league. We're going to talk about the league. We love the players. And if everybody did their part, we wouldn't have this problem.
Yes.
That's right.
Nobody cared about Tom Brady was until we started talking about him, until he started playing.
Exactly.
And we started talking about him. Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, we got to shove these guys down your throats. You'll learn who they are. You'll attach yourself to one of them. You'll build fans that way.
Well, I like Neil Suchuk, eh? I don't know him, I don't think. Maybe I do, but isn't that a typical negative move, a statement of the negative bunch, the negative Normans, as I call them? They just got to sit back there and find something to bitch about, eh? About the league. I mean, do they go to the games? Do they enjoy it?
Yeah. Keep going. Lynch, you said you wanted to talk more, so go.
Well, I just get upset about guys like that that put all the negatives there. It's a great league. We should love it more. I'm upset, of course, with what Roger Goodell said, that all we need for a team in Toronto is a stadium, and it'll get the ball rolling there again. But nothing will happen, of course. But I would wish that Roger Goodell, once in a while, would say something good about the CFL. Because he knows Canada real well. He knows the league real well. But overall, I think things are going real good right now. I think we're looking good to a real good season. I hope the Halifax experiment turns out okay. It's going to be a very enjoyable year, I think.
But it's funny you said that. I think the CFL is coming off pretty good in terms of its exposure with all these guys signing in the NFL. And you're starting to see, you know, whether it's Adam Schefter talking about the Trey Roberson signing and how he was the top free agent in the Canadian Football League. And they're mentioning the league and talking about it with some reverence and how it has some credibility to it. And, you know, that he might be the top, it might be the most lucrative deal for a CFL player coming down to the NFL since Cameron Wake. It's pretty good. And when you start bringing up those names like Cameron Wake, it starts adding more and more credibility.
Sure does.
There's no doubt. And I don't, like Chris Jones came on here a couple weeks ago and said every day he defends the CFL in America. And I don't understand who he would be talking to that he feels that need. Jeff Reinbold, who will be with us later from Super Bowl, when he was on our program the first time, you probably saw his tweet after, he said, Rod, thank you for sticking up for the CFL. And I just feel like, why do we have to? I don't stick up for it. I just talk about it because I love it. You know, and we all love it. But I guess people feel the need to defend it. I don't. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy it for what it is.
Exactly.
And if people don't want to watch it, that's their problem.
I really believe, though, that Chris Jones is a fan of the CFL.
Well, he should be.
Yeah, he should be. But
he spent 17 years in the league.
That's right. And got a fair paycheck in Saskatchewan, but I believe he loves the league.
Clark, can you put up this? It slid off the screen, the comment from James Hamilton. It was regarding Zach. This is where I will roll out the rollout. This will be the last point here before we break, and we got Danny Machocci coming up. But James Hamilton writes on our Facebook wall, just a reminder, boys, Zach's a great story. Unfortunately, he's one big-time hit to the head again, and he may be finished for good. Go Chiefs. Brady is trying to create a little hysteria. Who cares? So some great points there from James Hamilton. Yep. That's the point about Zach Collaros. Yes, he's one hit away, but quite frankly, we all are. So's Matt Nichols. Took a shot from Odell Willis and his season was over. That's the quarterback position. And you said it very well, Darren, that how do you not re-sign this guy?
Yeah.
After what he did going 4-for-4. And that is the conundrum that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers found themselves in, as their broadcaster Bob Irving put on Twitter. This was an agonizing decision for the Brain Trust, and I don't doubt for one second that they agonized over it. But how many times do I have to tell you, as a guy that knows Zach Collaros quite well here, myself, there's more than just stats with this guy. There's something about him that makes you reach another level, and everybody around him. Can he be a jerk? Yes. I like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all need a little bit of that.
Yep.
Sandpaper. Zach's a first one in, last guy out kind of guy. Yep. Student of the game. No, I don't know Matt Nichols at all. I don't think I've ever met him. So I don't know what he brings. But from what I see, I don't like complaining that he got booed in his own stadium. He's upset that they're talking with Zach Collaros. Zach wouldn't care about that stuff. That's the difference. It's not just about fantasy numbers with Zach Collaros. I can't speak to these other guys, but that's why I think they gravitated to Zach, the Bomber Brain Trust. Is that fair? Oh, just from what I know of the situation.
Well, Nelson Hackett says, Caleris is a brilliant football mind. I think he is. He's shown us that. Some of the moves he's made, some of the big plays he's made, the big plays, eh? He does make big plays.
Yes, and it's about your track record, and Zach got it done. He delivered when the chips were down for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And as far as we had mentioned this earlier in the week, people say Chris Jones couldn't find a quarterback when he was with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Well, he did. His name was Zach Caleros. But the football gods dictated as such that this guy wasn't going to be able to finish the season with Saskatchewan. But Jones identified him, and he went on to win a Grey Cup, just happened to be 1 year too late. So that's the rollout for Flooring Superstores, and we very much appreciate the partnership with Flooring Superstores and all of our partners, but they bring you the rollout each and every day. On the way, Danny Machocha, Jeff Reinbold, Craig Smith, our director of scouting, Matt Baker. It's a fantastic Football Friday right here. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listening at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. It's time to trade and upgrade at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
We're driving pretty soon.
Welcome back, everybody. Football Friday continues. We pause for a sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Brendan Gallagher scored the winner in his return to Montreal's lineup as the Canadiens beat the Buffalo Sabres 3-1 Thursday. Thomas Hertl will miss the rest of the San Jose Sharks season with a serious knee injury. Hertl tore the ACL and MCL in his left knee in a loss to Vancouver. Serge Ibaka scored 26 points. Kyle Lowry had 23, and the Raptors held off the Cleveland Cavaliers 115-109 Thursday. Before the game, Kyle Lowry was named a reserve for the NBA All-Star Game, his sixth time playing in the game, and the most in franchise history. Dusty Baker says managing the Houston Astros will be his last hurrah. At 70 years old, this will be his 23rd season as a Major League skipper, and he's still chasing an elusive championship. Regina's Matt Dunstone will play defending champ Kirk Myers today at the SaskTel Tankard in Melville, with the winner going straight to the 1-2 page playoff game Saturday night. Both teams are unbeaten so far, with Dunstone topping Cody Harding 9-3 Thursday night, and Myers defeating Sean Meacham 8-2. First rock between Dunstone and Myers will be thrown at noon today at the Verizon Credit Union Center in Melville. And that is your Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. They've got the first ever Rod Peterson Show Ballers Super Bowl party this Sunday. Chiefs 49ers. Hope to see you there. We'll be giving away two more tables on the program today for you to bring three buddies down and enjoy the game and a Vern's Pizza. I should say this, guys. And by the way, welcome to the bunker. Craig Smith, our director of scouting, and, of course, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster John Frenzy. Smitty, last night we opened our Great Western Slow Pitch League at Ballers. Our first game of the season, we lost 2-1. I have just said that was a preseason game. That was our first game. I was just getting the kinks out. Yeah. And Clark showed up for the second game of the doubleheader and then just started launching them into the sea. Boom, boom, boom. And we won our next game. What was it, like 8-2, Clark? And the guys, we were 9-6 it ended up. Okay. He was shooting the lights out once Clark showed up, and the other team demanded a urine sample from Clark after the game.
What'd they find?
But there's no performance-enhancing drug testing in the Great Western Slow Pitch League of Ballers, so we won the game. And as far as I'm concerned, we're 1-0 because the first game was preseason. You got to come down there sometime. Would you hang out with us?
I played fast pitch for 11 years, and I got hits out of all of the good pitchers in
I don't doubt it for a second.
Yeah, the premier, actually, of Manitoba.
Gary Dewar?
No. What the heck is his name? Anyway, he's from Portage.
It's all good.
He a big tall guy, and holy cow, he'd take a step.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher, and I got hits off of him. So yeah, I'd love to.
We'll bring you down.
Yeah,
Norway calling from Trenton, Norway. He says Mr. Lynch is on fire today. If that's the case, Lynch, stop, drop, and roll. The Super Bowl will be tight. I like the 49ers to win, but won't be surprised that the Chiefs win either. Will Dusty Baker win a World Series? Time will tell. Have a good weekend. Trent chiming in and out from Norway.
That's unbelievable. Eh?
Case closed.
That's great.
That he's watching from Norway?
That is just great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of CFL news here, and the folks just ahead of Danny Machocha joining us, the Alouettes general manager. Guys, DeVere Posey, of all those things the Alouettes did today, cutting Tommy Campbell, cutting DeVere Posey, trading Bo Lacombo to Toronto, the releasing of DeVere Posey really seems to have people have their attention.
That's a shock. I mean, he made plays. He's got so much skill, and hey, it's just guys are going in there and they're making decisions, and unfortunately Posey wasn't in their plans. But
that might be the wrong one to me. The way that guy is good. Sure, it's money probably, but. God, you know, he's a heck of a receiver.
Well, the salary cap, obviously, you've got to be in line with what's going on, and that could be it. And that's, when you're on the other side, when you're a fan and you see stuff like this, you go, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
When you're on the other side and you see, you go, okay, we got to do stuff like this.
And the teams are not at liberty to tell you why they do these things, unless they want to tell you why they do these things. And I'm actually just itching to get Danny Machocha on the air. And I would not be surprised if, with all these transactions this morning, he isn't able to join us. But Clark's assured me that Machocha will be joining us from the Alouettes facility this morning. One of the biggest reasons is because... Lynch,
what?
Hang on. I got to be the quarterback here. All right? I'll decide where the ball goes. Machocha's been out of the CFL for how long? Since 2008?
Was it 2011?
I'll have to check his Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how the CFL's changed the way it does business, Smitty, from then till now.
Good question, because there's certainly changes, but, changes, but not really. I mean, there's a cap. There's, things that you got to do. You got to follow stuff like that. Football is football. You want to get the best players that you can, and get after it. So it, obviously there's a difference. There's only so many people that it can have in the front office, and so there's a little bit of a change. I mean, coaching wise, when we won the Grey Cup in 2000, I think, what do we have, 7-8 coaches, something like that?
Yeah.
Things like that can be done.
But yes. This guy won the only guy, hey? The only guy ever has won the Grey Cup. And the Vanier Cup.
As a head coach.
As a head coach.
I've got a Vanier Cup ring, and I also got a great couple Grey Cup rings, too. So, but as a head coach, for sure. And, I visited him a bunch, and, he treated the Saskatchewan Rough Riders very well, and he always was open with his guys and, ability to sit down and talk about his players.
Whose phone is going off?
That was me, sorry.
Can you turn it down, if you don't mind?
Well, he get along with the coach of the Alouettes now. You think so?
I wouldn't be surprised if Kahari Jones. Who doesn't get along with Kahari Jones?
Exactly.
That shouldn't be a problem.
3-year contract, which is a great move by the Alouettes. That guy's terrific.
Yeah.
Just ahead of Danny Machocha joining us, for those that don't know, and I have to constantly remind myself that we're not young men sitting up here, so a lot of our younger viewers may not know Danny Machocha's story. Yes, he was named the general manager of the Alouettes just last week, but here is his history, and it's kind of all over the place here on Wikipedia. 97 to 99, he was with the Alouettes as the running backs coach. Before that, St. Leonard High School in Montreal, 94 and 95. They got it in reverse. Okay, now we're in order here. So Alouettes running backs coach, 97 to 99. Assistant offensive coordinator with the Owls in 2000, OC with the Owls in 2001, then to the Eskimos, where he was the offensive coordinator from 2002 to 2004, won Grey Cups there, became the Eskimos head coach from 2005 to 2008, and he left in 2008. And I think I said 2008, didn't I?
Yeah,
ding,
did.
Ding.
Yep.
She's been gone from the CFL for over a decade and has been with the University de Montreal, Quebec, 2011 to 2019, and took him to the Vanier. He's won a Vanier Cup. He was there this year with them, falling to the Dinos. Gents, that's a long time out of the CFL. And the reason I bring that up is Scott Milanovich was in Jacksonville for, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He spent a month reintegrating himself, getting up to speed with the CFL changes. And that's within 2 to 3 years. So imagine 12.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of things have happened.
Well, you know what? Guess who we hired? A guy by the name of Brendan Tamman.
Yeah. Right.
Brendan Tamman's going to, you know, I think that's a great, what they did, like, I mean, Michocha, who's a football guy and, you know, a CFL, and then the Canadian College, which you obviously have to have your thumb on, and then Tom Gamble, who's in the NFL for 29 years, great guy, met him, treated me very well, and then, of course, Brendan, my good friend, and, you know, so you think about the solidified front office. I mean, it's a great start. They've got a really good team, you know, to build upon. They've got a quarterback, which is obviously huge, and it looks pretty good in Les Alouettes, territory.
I swapped text messages with Brendan Tamman last Friday. It was announced just after we got off the air. He seemed extremely excited. Have you talked to him in the last week?
I sure have. He gave me a call on Saturday, and we talked about for 45 minutes, and it was it was very interesting, to hear some of the stuff. And he's definitely excited. He's really looking forward to it. He'll be able to go in and go to training camp, etc., and be responsible for out west. There's nobody. He's as good as anybody. I mean, you think about one of the worst trades was the Ricky Ray trade. One of the best was Chris Perez for Kahari, when Kahari was a backup. Now Chris Perez came to us and on the 2000 Grey Cup team, obviously played a big part of it. But Kahari went and he became, the most outstanding player, where he was a backup to Damon. You know, so you think about that. Think about what Brendan saw and got that, made that trade, it's a great situation in Montreal right now.
There's no doubt.
By the way, he's a great guy. Eh?
He's excellent.
We know that, don't we?
Yeah.
Remember what he did after we went to the Bob Hughes funeral and came back to see Karim to do a show? He came in with the Grey Cup. Remember that?
He brought it in for you.
Yep, that's what he said. I brought it in for John to get a picture. I got a picture of it. I mean, that's pretty fantastic, you know.
Yep.
Clark tells me that Danny Michocha has logged in, so he's just getting set up at his office in Montreal. I suspected, with the announcement of Brendan Tamman being hired, as if I have the term ready here, senior director of player development, that Brendan would not have to move. You mentioned that he'll be responsible for the West. Clark, do we have to go to a commercial? Okay. I'm being told to go to commercial. We'll be back with Danny Michocha, the general manager of the Alouettes, right after this. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Yeah. you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody. Danny Machocha just, they tell me, is getting set up for the interview. Everybody wants to be so fancy when they come on here. You don't have to be fancy. We just want to chat with you. What's wrong?
Nothing. Just
look at me. No, not you. I'm talking the setup on the background on the video interviews. The bunker, we're good. The poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who wins Super Bowl 54? We had that poll question like last week, and the respondents were saying Chiefs. I wanted to have it a week later, just a couple days before the game, to see if anybody's changed their mind. And no, 49% of you on Twitter, 70% of you on Facebook picking the Kansas City Chiefs. 71% of Facebook voters say the Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. If they did, it would be their first ever, correct?
No, right. Second.
Second?
Yeah, they beat the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, that you would know that, right? Yeah.
23-7 in 69.
Yeah, it's exactly
so it's been
right.
50 years since they were there, yes, and they won that one.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
My Twitter options I put were 49ers, Chiefs, or still not sure. 14% saying still not sure, but 49% voting for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, we got him now. Danny Machocha joining us from Montreal, the new general manager of the Alouettes. And Danny, I appreciate the time today. I'll say congratulations on the posting, but you've waited no time with a big news this morning with the Alouettes, man. You've been busy.
It's been quite busy. You need to understand that we're a little bit late to the dance here with the with all these appointments coming as of the last couple of weeks. That's just part of our reality. But we've been quite active, whether it's identifying who we wanted to sign back and how we wanted to adjust our dollars as far as the cap is concerned. And we've been quite active. We've secured the quarterback position. We've done, I think, a good job identifying our Canadian content. We've also got some quality offensive linemen under contract. We've addressed the running back position. We still got some other concerns moving forward, but we knew that we had some cap issues when we first got here, and we had to make the moves that we had to make this morning.
The recap: released Antonio Pipkin, Devere Posey, Tommy Campbell, traded Bowl a combo to Toronto. You got a draft pick back, signed Eugene Lewis, James Wilder, among others, and extended VA. I got to be honest with you, the Wilder signing was wild for a lot of people because we didn't know where he was going. What made him attractive to you and the Alouettes, Danny?
Well, we've got some coaches here that I've had a relationship with them in the past, and what I did is that I got on the phone and I researched them a little bit, made a few phone calls, including reaching out to Jim Pop, who had him for 2 or 3 years in Toronto, and we've talked extensively about James, and he's 27 years old. He's a big physical back. He probably looks a lot like the guy that was here, stand back that went to the NFL. He seems to fit what our coaches deem that they're looking for in a tailback. So, and like I said, he's 27 years old or so. There's a lot of good quality football left in his body. And we think it's a good fit for us. It's a good fit for him. And we hope it's going to pay dividends for us.
I think it's a great signing. I know James. He's a super dude. As a talent, that's obvious. But I like him, and change the scenery sometimes what guys need. My big question for you, Danny, is this all aside, you've been in youth sports for a long time, since 08 when you left the Eskimos. How has business changed in the CFL from the last time you're in it to where you are now?
Well, I don't know how much it's actually. There's a lot of it that hasn't changed. I would say probably 75 to 80% hasn't necessarily changed. Obviously the CBA has changed, so I've had to get up to speed as far as the CBA is concerned. The contracts clearly have changed along the way to a certain extent. So, you know, those off-season roster bonuses, signing bonuses, report and pass bonuses, the cap, where you want to structure your dollars. Some stuff has changed, and you just have to adapt accordingly. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, you want to invest your dollars in your starting quarterback and your Canadian content, and more importantly, your offensive line. And that's what we're trying to do here, knowing full well that we're going to have some other challenges here moving forward as far as identifying some quality players at other positions. But that's something that we're working on as we're speaking.
Hey, Danny, it's Craig Smith. Congratulations on the appointment. And obviously being in at the University of Montreal for a number of years, it must have been tough to get away from there. And was the GM job, is that something that you really, you know, was high on your list?
Yes, it was. So the University of Montreal is very dear to me. They're an extension of my family. It's unbelievable what we've been able to do there over the last 9 years, going to 3 Vanier Cups. You know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. One of the, you know, the references, I would say the team that everybody wants to be structured like or built like to a certain extent is the Laval Rougeur. And we have them in our conference, and we face them, you know, twice during the regular season and in postseason play. But, you know, we had a great run. We were able to do a lot of great things on the field. We graduated 85% of our student athletes. So I was quite satisfied with what we were collectively able to do at the University of Montreal. The GM job was something that was definitely dear to me, especially in Montreal. But I'm all about being aligned, sharing the same vision, identifying roles, every role being important. And I think with the new ownership group and the new president, and when we sat down and we discussed it in detail, I found there to be an opportunity that, you know, that we can possibly all work together and have that alignment and share that same vision and be productive, whether it's on and off the field. And we're starting to see that the last couple of weeks with the level of interest and the buzz that, you know, with all the transactions that we've, the signings that we've had over the last little while has had an immediate impact in our community, and it's you know, it's translated into season ticket sales, and I'm sure that moving forward, you know, hopefully we can sell out that stadium and bring the pride back to Montreal.
Danny, John Lynch here. Great to have you back in the league, by the way. You're a winner all the way. I wanted to ask you that. What's the reaction of the fans there in Montreal? Are they going to come out in droves, do you think, or as it comes down to winning?
Well, obviously, everybody wants to win. But I think there's also a level of consistency that people are looking for. I think when you take a look at a model like Calgary, all you want is the opportunity when you kick off the ball every single year to say to yourself, and honestly say to yourself, hey, we've got a chance. We've got a chance to win this thing. Obviously, there's a lot of things that have to fall into place. Stuff you control, and there's some stuff you don't control, but you want to give yourself that opportunity every single year when you kick off, you know, the ball on opening day. And that's where we're trying to get to. And I think that's what, you know, the fans in Montreal would like. That's what they had here when Trestman was here, when Don Matthews was here. Every year you knew that they were going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Brandon Tamman on the staff, he's from here. We're quite fond of him. Can you talk about bringing BT into the fold?
I love BT. I mean, I truly do. I've known him for a long time. I would say over the last maybe year to 18 months, we've talked about the possibility of potentially working together. And we said that if the opportunity did present itself, we would enjoy it, and for both of us to get back into the league. He's got a lot of experience. He's won everywhere he's been. He's won as a general manager. So I'm going to lean on him quite a bit. He's going to be situated in Western Canada, so he's going to have the U Sports schools on the West Coast, and he's going to have also a lot of those NFL camps and NCAA schools on the West Coast. So we're extremely excited about having him on board. And, you know, with having Brendan and having someone like Tom Gamble, well, it brings a lot of whiskers and a lot of experience to the table. And that's what I'm going to need moving forward, because obviously I'm going to be in the community here. I'm going to be quite active in the province of Quebec, and I think I've got a pretty good understanding of not only the market out here, but also the level of play of as far as student athletes that are playing in new sports schools in the province of Quebec.
Couple questions. Cooper's watching in Southern Ontario. He says, looking forward to learning from Mr. Machocha next weekend at the Nike Coaching Clinic in Montreal. Nelson Hakowicz wants to know, how does the designated national rule change how you build a roster? There's one big change from the last time you were in the league. How do you handle that one?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. So we've got the CFL, certain people in the CFL head office are going to be flying down to Montreal here in the next couple of days. And they're going to keep put me up to speed with that change, because I don't really have a grasp for it as we're speaking. Don't forget, I've only been here for about 10 days, so I'm just trying to get a feel for the roster. We put our scouting department in place. I've had to deal with a few contracts along the way. So I've asked for the league to come down, sit down with me, go through the CBA and all the changes that are going to affect us moving forward, in particular the 2020 season.
Good. I know it's not an easy job, so it's kudos to you for getting him to come out and do that. And by the way, Danny, you were linked to this Alouettes job, whether it be the presidency or the GMship, for like a year, maybe longer. And then the new owners come in and wango! By the end of the week, you're named. So obviously you think a lot of these guys. What can you tell us about your new bosses and how this is going to work?
Oh, he's like I said, when we had an opportunity to sit down and talk, and we talked about football, we talked about life, we talked about politics, we talked about everything under the sun, and he was so engaging, and and he's been successful everywhere he's been, and he has a plan. He always talks about being aligned along the same lines as I've talked in the past about being aligned. And he told me, he goes, Danny, I'm just a fan and I want to surround myself with good people and let them, let them do what they do best. So he's all in. He's spent a lot of time in Montreal. I've had an opportunity to sit down with him and discuss how I envision this football team moving forward. And I'm excited about working with him, just like I'm excited about working with Mario Cecchini.
Good stuff. Well, I know you're busy. Thanks for the time, Danny. Good luck in 2020, obviously. So happy to see you again and back in the league. And we'll talk soon, hopefully.
Thank you. Have a great one, guys.
Danny Machocha joining us from his office in Montreal, the Alouettes general manager. And I will just say this for any of our viewers. If you want to know what Danny Machocha is like, and I assume, Smitty, you've been around him. Mm-hmm. If you've been around Pat Fiacco, which is another diminutive Italian-Canadian, same vibes, same charm, same warmth. You know what I mean? There's just something about Danny that pulls you in.
Well, he's a football guy, and he obviously knows what he's doing. And, like I said, when I ever went to the University of Montreal, he treated me very well, and that's what you look for when you're a scout.
Mm-hmm. He's a winner all the way, eh?
As is Pat Fiacco.
One, everywhere.
Right on.
That's the connection. Yep. And for those that don't know, he's the former mayor of Regina, that I'm talking about, Pat Fiacco, and also a Canadian welterweight boxing champion. That's why I called him Canada's toughest mayor. But there's not a lot of competition. I said to Pat, don't let it go to your head. But there's so many... We could have sat here for hours with Danny Machocha, mm-hmm. and the comments and questions are coming in with people like crazy, like this up. Well, Clark wanted to ask about the upcoming bidding war. What do we call it? The auction? Bidding auction?
Auction, yeah.
Bidding season? Maybe that's what we'll call it. Bidding season. Smitty, that's where you really shine here in your analysis as there are two-time Grey Cup champion director of scouting. Can you explain how this is new? What's going to start? And by the way, Wayne in Victoria wrote in and says it doesn't start till Tuesday. This is so CFL-ish. I read an article this morning that it starts on Sunday, February the 2nd. Mm. So I don't really know, and I'm not a GM, so I don't really care. I guess we'll find out. What do you know about it?
Well, it's as much as you. But the big thing is obviously people are going to get an opportunity to get an offer. And then they can go back to their team and say, listen, this is what they're giving me. What do you guys, what are you thinking? So that's different, obviously. you, like you have said before, they did it kind of an under the table type thing, you know, where an agent would go, you know, maybe give the call to another team and, you know, see what they're thinking. So, but now they can do it. Now it's legit. Now let's see what happens. And, you know, it's not that bad. It's something where a team can, another team could possibly get after somebody's free agent before it actually opens up. So it's an interesting concept.
Well, it seems to me like a clerical slash accounting nightmare. You heard what I said earlier.
Yeah.
Potentially thousands of offers are going to come into the CFL office.
Yeah, yeah.
Man. But when do you think we're going to have the first batch of them? Tomorrow sometime or Sunday sometime?
We just said Sunday or Tuesday. I've read Sunday is when this starts.
But I mean more than five or six or seven or eight, like we'll be able to. Five or six or eight in the first day, and then 10 or 15 by Tuesday and Wednesday, or what do you think?
I don't think it's going to be too bad. You know, there's only so many free agents. A lot of the teams are starting to lock up a lot of their players, but there's still some out there. So I don't think it's going to be too bad. There's going to be, you know, an offer that will go to the CFL office, you know, the contract, and then the regular team will be able to see, and okay, this is what they're offering. Okay, well, we want to keep this guy. We want to give him more money. So I don't think it's going to be too crazy.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
Clark has just confirmed in my ear that the bidding season opens Sunday at noon Eastern. And I apologize. These are some of the things that just frustrate me. Wayne and Victoria writing in, no, it's Tuesday. No, it's not. Like, God.
So there's going to be a week and 2 day period where, you know, teams can talk to the free agents. So there's a fair bit of time, and, you know, there could be a, you know, pretty good war there with regards to, you know, getting guys. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's a bad deal.
Well, it's been good. It's been going on for 100 years.
Yeah.
Now they're just legalizing it. They're trying to put a little bit of an official stamp on it.
Yeah.
But and furthermore, by the way, so to this Charleston Hughes thing, which was point five of our magnificent seven show topics, according to Three Down Nation, and I must say, this is all rather shady too. Is Charleston a free agent? Is he not a free agent? Was he under contract? Did they rip it up and give him a bump? I don't know, but 3downnation.com reporting that Charleston has been given a $15,000 a season raise to $165,000 for the 2020 season. Where's this coming from? How do we know? As you know, contracts aren't even public anyways. So, and should he be paid more given the fact his line mate Micah Johnson last year made a lot more than that? And I'm sorry. I've talked to the coaches, which I didn't need to do. I've seen the games myself. Micah Johnson was not a dominating force, and certainly not to the $250,000 a year salary. He didn't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was double teamed on every play.
Yeah, I've
seen a lot of guys double teamed that beat it and were dominant.
He had four hands on him all the time pretty well.
Point?
Well, he wasn't who he was. The year before, he had 14 sacks. Last year, he had, what, four? Yeah, I was disappointed in him, quite frankly.
But Johnny had four hands on him all the time.
But he was getting $250,000 was the highest paid lineman in the whole league.
D-lineman
or O-lineman, I think. So, and he didn't live up to what we were expecting. But I don't know. Would you want him back?
Oh, yeah. Don't give up on the kid. I mean, the kid's, you know.
Well, he's not a kid. He's 32 or 33.
He's a kid to me.
He's a kid to all of us.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I wouldn't give up on that player. I think he's still got game. And, you know, maybe the double team possibly opened up for
Charleston.
Charleston.
Yeah.
Both. Would like to have them both back. Like I said before, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, in my mind, at the end of the season, were the team for next year. Sign up all your guys and let's get after it and see what can happen after that. But you know, each part of the puzzle is a big thing. Hopefully Judge could come back and, you know, like I said, get the boys back and let's get another go, because they were, you know, I mean, it was going to tie the game if they get a touchdown, but still, I mean, they were very, very close to going to the Grey Cup.
I think you got to get Sean Evans back.
Oh, for sure.
That's
my number one guy.
And your linebacker you're talking with.
Judge.
Cameron, yeah. Judge.
And Solly. It would be nice to get Solly, but get all those guys back, you know.
Those two, for sure.
That's a good football club right
there. Wouldn't
it
be nice?
Yes.
But they all want a raise.
Yeah, I know. That's how
you're hearing the stuff about Solomon Elamimian potentially going elsewhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose him.
Nope.
No, for sure. Smitty, that's, again, take us inside this. There's got to be a reason. They haven't signed yet. They must be wanting to go to free agency.
Guys are waiting. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Guys are waiting to see what they... And who could blame them? I mean, you play a game for not very long. So let's get as much as we can and you know, doing the game that you love. So I can understand that. I can understand how Elamimian would just be waiting and then... Probably waiting for Sunday to see if how many offers are going to come in, and then he can take it from there.
Now, look at here. Steve DeYoung, whoever he is, says, in a host Grey Cup season, I expect the Riders to grab a few big names to complete a great team going forward. I agree with that.
2013. Yeah. Take a look at some of the guys
all over again,
we got.
Right.
I mean, some of those guys that we got, what Brendan did, and you know, he did a great job and was solidified. You get G-Roy and you get Ricky Foley, and then at the halfway through, I remember we went in 2013, played Labor Day, and Alex Hall was killing us. Guess who we got near the end of the season?
At the deadline.
So I mean, that's exactly what they did, and that's a good point.
By the way, that trade. I won't put you on the spot by saying who did the Riders send to the Bombers for Alex Hall. It was Patty Neufeld, who I think the Bombers would do that deal again, given what Patty's meant to Winnipeg.
Yep.
I love that kid.
How can you not?
I felt so sorry for the kid because he, you know, he was with us and then he got traded to Winnipeg and we win the Grey Cup and that stuff. He got a Grey Cup ring this year, so I was happy for that.
Here's one from my friend writing my own personal Prairie Mobile smartphone. He'll just go by the name Jeremy, okay? I'm not going to name his last name. He says, discuss on the show why the Riders have done really nothing in signing free agents and bringing new players in for looks. I'm getting concerned. Dun, dun, dun. Hang on. We'll talk about that in hour two. Plus, Jeff Reinbold live from Super Bowl 54 and Matt Baker of the BC Lions. It's a Football Friday. Episode 168 of Canada's only live morning sports show continues after this break. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.